today on Real Radio.
You know how people will say, well, what existed before God? We worship a God that's never been created. He's the uncreated creator, and he's the uncaused cause. Nothing preempts him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called My Dear Church with a message called My Dear Laodicea, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out particular churches in Asia Minor, which is currently known as Turkey. His intention? To deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and where we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening in the world today. Some say it's God's judgment upon the earth, while others simply call it a process of evolution. But one thing is completely clear, and that is that God is speaking to this world, and we really have to listen. So today, on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that in this final letter to the seven churches, we'll see how wealthy the church at Laodicea really was. It's a man-made, user-friendly church that Jesus had nothing good to say about. The church is more than just a building, and if Jesus is not within a church, it's dead inside. And now in his message called Laodicea, I've Written You a Letter. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
As we look to the seventh letter to the seventh church that Jesus spoke to, and that is the church at Laodicea. The Laodicean church. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. By the way, if you're still turning there, make note of this. It's the longest letter of the seven. You're going to hear things today that are going to perhaps shock you in the way of what you've been taught before or you've assumed before, but we're going to read this carefully. And you're going to come out of this Bible study today wiser and smarter than when you went into it. And I want to give you a warning right up front. It's the letter to the seven churches. And we're going to dial down on that word church and what it means and what it doesn't mean. Jesus speaks, Revelation 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel you, says Jesus, to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat on my father or with my father on his throne. Verse 22, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be the deliverer of this message, that dear God in heaven above, as we consummate our teachings in this series and we come to the last church on this last of these 7 weeks, God, I cannot help but believe that this is a time period ordained by you and how precious you are, God. And for this world to be in the moment that we are in, globally at the same moment. We didn't concoct that. You did. And all of this tells us, Heavenly Father, that you are wanting and willing now to do an eternal work in the life of the believer, in the life of the unbeliever, and in the life of those that are wayward and they need to come back to Jesus. So, Almighty God, I beg of you now that you would be the instructor in this message. And we pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Friends, you can be seated. As we get into the background of Laodicea, it's a fascinating church. It's a fascinating study. And as I said a moment ago, it's one that Jesus dedicated more words to this church than all the others. Jesus gives invitation to them with a sense of mercy more than all others. And yet you'll learn some things today about this church that might shock you. A little bit of the background. It's important to us because, first of all, the location. The city of Laodicea finishes off that Roman imperial mail route that we've been talking about. We've almost completed now a perfect oval that began with Ephesus, and we've gone through these six churches and now come to the seventh church, which is now have gone down south and then east and now a little bit east and west, heading down to close the loop, as it were, on the Roman mail routes. And Laodicea is the last stop of that message system. Think of it as an internet or a link of information technology. It was the route for commerce. It was the route to communicate. It was the route that God picked to send the gospel message preached. And it's the very route that Jesus delivers the message to his churches. And in this last day and age, those seven letters to those seven churches also remarkably, miraculously correlate with church history over the last 2,000 years. That's right. Right now, you and I are living in the Laodicean period, and you'll see why in a moment. But it's an amazing location. We also know that there's a hallmark to the city of Laodicea. And if you've ever been involved in real estate or buying a home, what's the biggest thing, at least in America, about buying a home? The biggest thing, in fact, it's so important that you might even buy a home that you're going to have to eat beans and potatoes or hot dogs for the rest of your life just to pay for it, because there's something that is so valuable to the development or the income or the equity of the home. It's not the size of the house. It's not the look of the house. What is it? I can hear it right now. Location, location, location. You can have the right location and put a tent up, and it could be worth $1 million. At least it is in California. Expensive. Location. And Laodicea had that location. Remarkable location. It became the wealthiest area of that region of the Roman Empire. And by the way, the Laodicean church was well known to be the wealthiest church in all of the churches of Asia Minor, and especially out of the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. They had a very desirable zip code, if you know what I'm talking about. They had the highest annual income per household in Asia Minor. They had key locations of banking, textiles, and medicine. They were the Silicon Valley, as it were, of the Laodicean region. And its origin, Laodicea, the city, got its name from Antiochus II. You all remember Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus III, that's his son. This guy's Antiochus II. And he dedicated the city to his wife, Laodicea. And it was named after her. After he gave her the gift of the city and named it after her, he then divorced her. But I guess that's the way it goes. But her name, by the way, means, strange name, listen up. But the name means to rule the people, or to rule over the people, or the rule of the people. And it suggests that there is a system, the way it's wrapped. It's understood then, we can understand it now, that there's a system in place of religion. It speaks about man governing over man. It speaks about man governing man's power, man's institution, man's ways. It speaks of man-made activities. It speaks of a man-centric location, a man-controlled location. And think about it, as Jesus looks at it, we'll see that it implies that it is a man-driven, man-supported, man-executed church. It's all about man in that church. It's not about Jesus, as you'll see. It's not about doctrine. It's not about missionary work. It's not about preaching. It's not about disciple making. You're going to see that it's all about a church exalting man and the pursuits of man. And then one final thing by way of background, the point of interest regarding the Laodicean period, that there's a grave warning to us theologically here out of this city and sociologically. And that is wherever man's pursuits are held in high esteem, the focal point of man's existence, then there's a great move to answer to the cry of man. When man wants something bad enough, the pressure of the society or of the culture is to give man what he wants. Think of it. It's important. When man starts to say, this is what I want, the push behind Laodicea is this. Because it was driven by man's wisdom and man's passion, and yet it was still called a church, according to Jesus, it delivered whatever the community, whatever the political correctness was. It was a church that compromised everything to be all things to all people, but not for Bible doctrine, but to be accepted by the world. It was a man-made church, as we shall see. And it was all about going around, finding out what kind of church do you want? Because we want to bring it to you. Take this poll. Check off the boxes. What do you want to see in a church? Let us know and we'll make it for you. It's Laodicean and it's an affront to God, as we shall see. This is the only church in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ has nothing good to say about it. I'm passionate about this study. I got to tell you, these last 7 weeks, every study I've done bringing you this message to the letter to the seven churches always had this one in the back of my mind. I knew where we were going, and it's a dangerous thing. Jesus has nothing good to say about it. And you say, well, how could that be? Just wait. You know what's sad about it is that it wasn't always the case. You got to remember, Jesus wrote this letter to them in 95 AD when it was given to John. What happened at Laodicea before that time? Well, the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse 1 says, Paul the Apostle writes, "For I want you to know that a great conflict I have for those who are in Laodicea, and as for many as I have not seen in the flesh." Paul is saying, I have a great conflict. I love them. I pray for them. I minister for them. And not only the church at Laodicea, but for all of those that I've not seen in the flesh face to face. Again, Colossians 4:13 says, "For I bear witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis." You're going to want to remember those two names, Laodicea and Hierapolis. Very, very important that you write that down. We're going to come back to it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 15. "Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church that is in his house." Colossians 4, 16. "Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from the Laodiceans." So the church at Colossae was reading the letter written to them, and then they sent that letter on the road, so to speak. And then the church that had instructions, Laodicea, read it, and then they sent it on to Colossae. The whole circuit of exchanging, passing along the message of God. So here we go in our study today, church, and I gotta tell you right now, this would probably be a good time for you to turn off the message and go do something else if you don't wanna get serious with God. But if you wanna have the Holy Spirit speak to you, I have been begging him to bypass me and to speak directly to you and where you're at. So you remember the title, right? My dear Laodicea, I've written you a letter. And the first thing that we see about the letter is this. I've written you a letter, so why will you not listen to me? Will you write that down? Jesus writes a letter to the church at Laodicea, and he's saying this, he's asking this, why don't you listen to me? Why won't you listen? Verse 14, and to the angel of the church at Laodicea, to the pastor of the church at Laodicea, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is awesome. This is almost too difficult for you and I to wrap our mind around these factual statements that Jesus is presenting here. It's absolutely incredible what he says. Jesus is announcing to them, will you listen to me? The church at Laodicea? Hey, will you listen to me, the church of the 21st century? I am the Amen. I am the faithful. I am the true witness. I am the beginning of the creation of God. All of these things the church at Laodicea had left off from. They left believing it. They stopped believing these things. They started as a church, and we just saw four times the Apostle Paul address them. They started off as a church, but they don't end this way as a church. Jesus gives the assessment. When we look at the words here, the statement, the I am, I need all of you to pay close attention because this is absolutely, I can't even begin to stress you how important this is. When he says to the church of Laodicea that he's the Amen, the word means this. It's a declaration by Christ, which is number one, theologically undeniable. It's the claim of deity by Jesus himself, and it cannot be refuted. Jesus uses the Amen out of the book of Isaiah that is reserved for Almighty God alone. And you want to know why that's important? Because if anyone 2,000 years ago would have said that they were the Amen of God, they would be dead by sundown. You would have been stoned to death for committing blasphemy. So, A, Jesus is committing blasphemy, and we need to run from him and avoid him at all cost, or he's the one who he says he is, the Amen. And the word Amen in Hebrew means, this is the truth, let it be done, so it is. It is a statement of, that's it. You know how you and I sing a song and say Amen, we say a prayer and say Amen? It's the last statement of everything. When Jesus said, I'm the Amen, it is the grand exclamation point on the claim of deity. Those of you who are involved in a cult right now, you're squirming right now because your cult leaders didn't tell you that Jesus is it. He's not one of many. He is it. Every cult, every aberrant doctrine departs at this point. A lot of them have similarities, but not here they don't. Their similarities are out there and able to be studied and able to be looked at and maybe even tolerated. But at this point, there's a break point. All cults agree Jesus cannot be the Amen. And Christianity declares Jesus is the only Amen. Why? Because Jesus says he's the only Amen. And then he says that he's the faithful. The faithful. The church believers at Laodicea were not faithful. They were not faithful. By faithful, he means that he's faithful to speak truth, faithful to do truth. Listen, I don't know if this is something that we entertain often, but we must. To speak truth or to claim that you know truth, or in this case, for Jesus to say that he is in fact truth, faithful, it means to not only say it, that's only 50% of it. The other half is to do it. Faithfulness is a declaration based on activity. Faithfulness based on what I've done. faithfulness. Jesus is the faithful. And what else? He is the true witness. See, all these things, it's as though, watch everybody, it's as though Jesus walks up in the courtroom and he's submitting evidence. It would be something like this: yes, I have been abandoned by this church, and here's my indictment against the church. They do not recognize anymore that I am the Amen. They no longer adhere to the fact that I am faithful, and they no longer embrace the fact that I am the true witness of the things of God. They have rejected me, and I want to put that on the record. That's what he's doing. Before heaven and hell, Jesus is saying, this is the record. And then listen to this. He says, I am the beginning of creation. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. Get ready to write this down. Before I do, remember this. We worship God as Christians. We follow him, who is the uncreated creator. You know how people will say, well, what existed before God? Oh, my dear friend, you need to raise your standard of questioning. We don't worship a God that was created. We worship a God that's never been created. He's the uncreated creator, and he's the uncaused cause. Nothing preempts him. Nothing is prerequisite. In other words, his doctrine and his very presence is prescient. He's the beginning of creation. This is who Jesus Christ is. You say, Jack, you sure you got that right? You mean Jesus, the beginning of creation? Don't you mean to say that Jesus is the first one that was created by God? No, that's a cult view. The Bible says in John 1, verse 1, sorry, I'm yelling. I am so excited about this. I love, you know what? If you take away the deity of Jesus Christ, then the Christian has nothing. But knowing the truth about this, I find myself yelling at you because, not at you, I'm sorry. I'm just so excited about the God that has saved me and the God that has been so good to me will never change because he's the eternal God. And his salvation that was wrought at the cross and the guarantee of it when he rose again from the dead, I know that more sure than I can trace genealogically my last name. And if that wasn't true, I'd quit this post today. Listen to this. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. That is, at the beginning of the physical creation of the universe, what was? The Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in the beginning with God, that is of the physical universe, the Word was with God. Verse 3, all things were made, or we get the word created, through him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called My Dear Laodicea, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for listening today, and as you can see, our way can get a little slippery, but faith in our Lord Jesus Christ can keep us from falling. My Dear Laodicea, I've Written You a Letter is part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church, a series taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to seven churches and what Jesus wants to say to the church today, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, whenever we do a series here on Real Radio, it really helps to go back and review it, like the seven letters to the seven churches. We really want it to soak into our hearts and minds. It's important that we take the time to listen to what Jesus is saying and maybe make some changes. So just a quick reminder that Pastor Jack will often have the video series you're looking for right there at his YouTube channel. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. There you'll find hundreds of videos to choose from. The content really is amazing. And you can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel from YouTube or from our website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.